Please don't do that.
Just don't learn.
Does this one work?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Kathy Watts. I live in Ellison Drive in Milton, Delaware, and I'm here to ask for your votes in support of this ordinance for Sussex County. I believe in it personally, and I'm also here representing the Sussex County Republican Women's Club, who have voted unanimously in October to support this ordinance. I have worked in both union and non-union jobs throughout my working life. Such a tool would help to maintain and develop the economic resources and employment opportunities for Sussex County. The right to choose how we spend our hard-earned money and for whom we vote is the American way. We do not have choices without right to work. This proposal is only private sector, as was mentioned earlier. We already have it in the schools here. They have the right to choose whether or not they pay into the union coffers. Clearly, from the number of prospective business owners who have examined the business opportunities here, among their questions is whether this is a right-to-work community. When informed that Sussex is not, typically the discussion is over. It is your responsibility to vote to do the right thing for our citizens and our voters, whether they're employees or business owners. In light of several recent articles, it should be noted that some of the data that was put forth by the opposition is based on five-year-old information, and I know that we all know that has changed a lot here in Sussex County in the last 5 years. So how credible is that? The union leaders and political action committees from Maryland, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey, and anywhere else outside of Delaware, do not elect our council. We, the citizens of Sussex County, elect our council. There have been several opinions offered on this matter, some of which were in writing and some were not. I am curious if you've read all the written opinions. From the sound of all the testimony I've heard today, it sounds like most of you have. We know you have heard the oral opinions. So if you have not read them, we might suggest that you are doing a disservice to your constituents. So when you vote on this issue, please remember that you also have the future option of withdrawal or change to this ordinance. Outside legal resources to support this mission will no doubt be available if you go forward with it. I want to take a moment to congratulate the Seaford Mayor and Council for supporting the right to work for their community. That was a unanimous vote, men and women, Democrat and Republican, all races. They have vision and are highly motivated to do the right thing for Seaford, which will be the right thing for Sussex County. I hope you are motivated and will support this, and we look forward to continuing to work with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Hi, my name is Bryant Richardson. I live in Seaford, Delaware. First of all, I'd like to say that I respect the opinions of everybody here and the voices that I hear from each and every one of you, and I respect Mike for most of the control that you've had over this meeting. I'm a little nervous because this is the first time I've testified when I had to pass by two giant inflatable rats in order to testify. It has been said that the mayor, that a gentleman whose opinion I respect, and you'll know who it is when I say this, but a gentleman whose opinion I respect said that right to work has never come up as an issue in Sussex County in all the time that he was in economic development or worked for the county. The mayor of Seaford tells me just the opposite. He says the discussions have ended as soon as they found out that Seaford was not a right-to-work area. I have a lot of facts. I guess, you know, there have been a lot of facts presented, but I thought I was limited to 3 minutes, so I'm just going to go ahead and stick to what I have written.
Which is 3 minutes.
It's probably 2 minutes.
Get my vote.
Good jobs are fleeing Delaware, and we are rarely even considered for new major manufacturing or assembly facilities. Every new or expanded U.S. auto assembly plant has gone to right-to-work states. Despite the facts that our economy is stagnant at best, that our GDP is anemic, and that Our unemployment rate is 38th highest in the nation. Too many do not see a need for change. I did not run for office on a promise to keep the status quo, but to work for changes that would improve our economy and reduce the need for higher taxes. What about the legality of a county right-to-work ordinance? After counties in Kentucky passed such ordinances a few years ago, lawsuits followed. The case made its way to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals that ruled 3-0 that local jurisdictions are within their right to adopt such ordinances. The decision was appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court that in October declined to hear the appeal. That means the Sixth Circuit Court decision stands. Within 12 months of adopting Right to Work, Warren County, Kentucky benefited from $947 million in new investment and an increase of 1,055 jobs, the most in any 12-month period in the county's history. Within 90 days of declaring Right to Work, Hardin County, Kentucky secured over $1 billion in new capital commitments. If this passes, Sussex will be the only right-to-work county in the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic region. While no one can say how much new business would be generated, we will become more attracted to businesses that want to locate in the Northeast. The eastern side of the county has the ocean and a vigorous tourism industry to keep it moving ahead. We have some of the best farmland in the United States on the western side of the county and a rich heritage of which we can boast. What we don't have is an abundance of career opportunities. I strongly encourage our county council members to take steps to reinvigorate our economy by passing the Right to Work ordinance. All five Seaford City Council members voted for an ordinance that gives the city Right to Work distinction. In Seaford and in those two counties in Kentucky, the makeup of those councils was a blend of political parties, as that is all that mattered. Before voting, Seaford City Councilman Dan Henderson presented his arguments in favor of the ordinance. Following is an excerpt from his comments. No impediment should remain for an individual's liberty to secure employment for himself or herself. I am convinced that this is a God-given right, and it is not a right nor a privilege dispensed by government. When I took my oath for office, to defend the Constitution, it was to defend life, liberty, and the pursuit of property, the pursuit of happiness. Just a little bit more. Seaford's leadership has been working hard to attract new industry, but found the Right to Work issue an obstacle. Mayor David Genshaw and the council members recognized the need to take this important step to give Seaford a fighting chance to attract business. My hope is that those in leadership in our state will take this into consideration. Seaford's current economic conditions will take into consideration Seaford's current economic conditions and allow the implementation of the ordinance to go unchallenged. I appreciate the example that Seaford's mayor and council has provided and the need to press forward, even though they are aware that there are factions that oppose them. I have never believed it is better to give up without trying, especially when the need for economic improvement in areas is so great. Once again, I feel the need to emphasize that without an improved economy, those already carrying the tax burden will be expected to pay even more the next time there's a budget shortfall. I would like to end with this quote. There are risks and costs to action, but they are far less than the long-range risk of comfortable inaction. That was by John F. Kennedy. Thank you.
Senator, before you walk away, Senator. Go ahead.
You and others have stated that the conversation stops. Yes. Are there any examples of conversations what stopped? Right? I mean, does anybody say this employer or that? Does anybody? I'm not asking you to speak for Mayor Ginsburg.
Yeah, but that's what I would have to do. I'd have to speak on behalf of the mayor, but that's what he told me personally, that these conversations
stopped. But there wasn't any
stopped.
Examples of a company.
Probably all the people that he talked to, that they were trying to get people into their industrial park. Now, the reason that it's important for Seaford, which, you know, I live near the DuPont, what was the DuPont mm-hmm. plant, and I see the parking lot that used to hold 1,000 cars now might hold 15 or 20 at a time. And I go past the Nylon Capital Shopping Center, which is almost falling in on itself, and I see the need for economic improvement in our area. You know, the what the county council can do, since the DuPont plant, the former DuPont plant is outside the city limits, is if you pass this ordinance, that'll give us an opportunity to recruit businesses for that area, which at one time employed between 4,600 and 5,000 people, including at one time myself when I got out of high school, and my wife later on when she wanted to send her children, you know, to help fund our children's education. All three of our children graduated from universities. All three now live outside the area because of the lack of job opportunities in this area. They're all making decent, very, very good livings, but they're not contributed to the economy buying homes and you know, raising their children in this area. They're outside. They're in Townsend, Maryland, Washington, D.C., and in Chesapeake, Virginia. So, you know, I'm sorry, I don't have a specific example.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'm good, sir. I'm good.
Okay.
Next speaker.
Good afternoon. Carrie Stahl, 30303 South Mill Run, Milton, Delaware. Thank you for hearing us today. I do appreciate your time. I was raised in Lewis and attended Cape High. I then left our wonderful state to attend college in North Carolina, where I eventually began my teaching career. As I'm sure you are aware, North Carolina is a right-to-work state. That gave me the right to a starting salary below the national poverty line. That gave me the right to work many unpaid hours. That gave me the right to work without the protection of a contract. And eventually, it gave me the right to leave North Carolina, where the teaching shortage is in a state crisis. I left North Carolina because a right-to-work state equals the right to be an unprotected and unvalued employee. I urge you, council members, to not allow this movement to creep into our state. I'm sure that you will have heard and have heard from many people who will offer you the facts and statistics about the devastation caused by the right-to-work movement. I instead offer you my story, and I beg you to learn from it. Please vote no on the right-to-work movement. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Must be something out there. You can't hear my microphone saying, please don't applaud. There's something wrong with the PA system. Please don't applaud or we're going to ask you to leave the room, okay? Make that very simple.
Good. Seth Buford, 104 Loganberry Lane, Rehoboth, Delaware. I'd like to thank the council for the opportunity to speak today. I'd also like to thank all those individuals in attendance for showing up. It's such a heartwarming feeling to see so many people out here today voicing their opinions and concerns over what's become a political debate. However, let me say that right to work is not about economic growth. It's about silencing your voices. I come from a labor family. My grandfathers were masons and operating engineers throughout the state of Delaware. My father was an electrician. They worked hard to provide for their families, and because of that hard work, I was the first in my family to go to college and graduate. It was the union that provided for my family. It was the union that gave them the insurances and opportunities for me, both academically and economically. Now, I could spend my time recounting the countless examples from across the nation of these failed policies. I could tell you about Oklahoma, where job and economic growth are both expected to rank the 10th lowest in the union. I could go on and tell you about how the American Spectator describes in detail the result of right-to-work legislation in Oklahoma. And it appears as though that the law has actually damaged growth. After the law was passed, 50,000 fewer residents had manufacturing jobs in Oklahoma. And that's just one example of many. The list goes on. The Economic Policy Institute, many of you heard about, states that the average worker in a right-to-work state earns $1,500 less per year. And I ask you, can Sussex County residents afford $1,500 or less a year? Can you? Much of the mythology surrounding right-to-work revolves around unions as job killers. Forced unionization, closed shops preventing businesses from growing and hiring qualified laborers. Let's be clear, there's no such thing as a closed shop. Employers have the right to hire members that they feel are skilled and qualified, and they may join the union as they wish. Many of you here own small businesses and have expanded in Sussex County without right-to-work legislation. Right-to-work means lower wages and reduced employment opportunities. It leaves workers with fewer rights and fewer opportunities. It leaves our workers without a voice. This is not about economic growth. This is about job and union-ending legislation. If we want jobs and we want to increase our economic opportunity, then you as our elected officials should begin working to support our small businesses throughout the county and our state. According to the Delaware House Republican Caucus, after a series of meetings between business leaders, legislators, the biggest hindrance to economic growth wasn't unions and collective bargaining rights, it was regulation by the state agencies. Perhaps instead of focusing on policies that lead to economic hardships for our workers, you can work with our state agencies to help pave the pathway to increased business opportunities. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
All right, gentlemen. My name is Sean Collarin. I live at 29 Tiffany Drive, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I live, work, and vote in Sussex County. Thank you very much for giving us all this opportunity to speak to you today. I'm here to oppose right to work. Right to work is horribly misleading. A more appropriate nomenclature, as you've heard thrown out, would be right to work for less. For example, the right to work for less pay, over $7,000 a year in right to work states. 10 of 12 states with the highest pay gap between men and women are right to work states. 8 of 10 states with the lowest minimum wage are right to work states. Also, the right to work in a less safe environment. There's less safety in right to work states. At right to work, accident states are 54% higher. It's even more alarming when you talk about fatality rates, which are 49% higher. You also have the right to work for less benefits. You get less health care coverage, you're expected to pay higher premiums, and more of that premium. In right-to-work states, also less money is spent on education, over $3,000 less per student. And the National Education Association puts that at 32.5% less. And as a result, the majority of the states with right-to-work legislation have the lowest performing schools in the country. Right-to-work is an attack on the working class. It's an attack on pay and quality of life of the middle class. You're taking away from law enforcement, teachers, nurses, emergency workers, and many other unsung heroes that keep our local community safe and prosperous. It's easy to throw out a thank you, but it's quite another thing to show them that you appreciate them. You're also taking away these opportunities from our own children. I have a daughter currently in high school. That's an alarming statistic to me. You're attacking the safety of our wives, husbands, children, friends, family, and neighbors. And every resident in this county already has the right to choose whether they want to work at a union or a non-union place of employment, and has for over 70 years, as has already been discussed with the Taft-Hartley Act since 1947. So that's protected under federal law. America is and has been powered by hardworking and honest middle class workers. I implore you, please take the advice of the Attorney General and your own attorney, Mr. Moore, and vote, and do not to vote for something that would take so much away from local workers, communities, simply to add to corporate profit margins. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Christopher Johnson. I'm from 16424 Fitzgerald's Road, Lincoln, Delaware. I'm a taxpaying citizen. I've been employed at my current employer for 10 years, going on 11 years now. I started there when I was 18 years old, and I'm now 29.
You want to pull that mic up a little bit? There you go.
I came here to hold a sign originally because I do whatever I got to do to support support our brotherhood, to support our union. But I don't just come as a Teamster. I also come as a father of two sons in Sussex County, and a husband to my wife for 10 years now. I come here, like I said, to hold this sign. I feel awkward holding a sign that says no right to work. Like, as a younger man, it makes me feel like I'm going against or going against my community, because I want my community to have the right to work. I own a company within my community to instill in them and give them values and visions that they can be something when they get older and they don't have to just settle for less. They can go for things. They can try things. They can protect what they have. The war on right to work makes me feel unsettled, because my sons in the future will have to either break down the walls that are being built up around them, or they can continue to lay the pavement for the road that we're making now. With the issues at hand as far as union dues and what we pay out as a contribution to our brotherhood, to our Teamsters, in the facility that I work in, we have non-union employees. We have management. We have workers that work in offices, and they are non-union. They're offered the same benefit packet that we are. We are actually in a few contract negotiations ago. We had gone with the company-wide insurance packet, but because we're Teamsters, we have a cap, a percentage cap that protects us. Because of our bargaining agreement, we're protected that we actually pay a less of a deductible than they do. And they're not union. We're in the same facility. So I don't understand what, when they take these union dues, these people don't pay any type of a fee, attorney, or what they call them, not union dues. They pay some fee. If you're non-union, you pay a fee. What is it?
Agency fees.
I pay union dues. And a gentleman addressed it earlier. If you attended a gym and you didn't pay dues, that would fault the organization from even operating. The union has appointed me as a shop steward back in 2010. And then in that time, they have educated me. They have given me practice to teach me law, federal, state, and all these different things to apply back to my barn, to apply back to my members, to give them the power that they have as a working middle class people, that they're not controlled by the upper management and things like that, that they have the right to grievance, they have the right to these procedures because of our union dues. These procedures are not free and they're not cheap. And just in my few amount of years that I've had in this experience, I've witnessed and experienced or been a part of 7 arbitration cases. Also, we've had several cases where people were terminated and they were able to come back because of these arbitration cases. But these union dues that we have, the unions that we have are built to instill the middle class community. My sons are able to live a lifestyle that I was not able to live. My father was not a union worker. I started this for my family. I've started this for the generations to come. But the right to work, or the attack as far as right to work less, is bad news for our community. And that's coming from somebody who's been living in Sussex County for a very long time. And my generation, when we go to these meetings, every time I'm part of a meeting and everybody stands up in the room that's 35 years old or less, we are a minority. But we're here. I speak on behalf of that minority, of the age gap that there is in our generation, that you don't think they're paying attention. We're watching, and we're against right to work, and we are, and that's how I stand for my community, for my fellow workers, for our union, for my sons, and for all those who are not able to come here today because of their work. I stand for them to say we are against and opposed to right to work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Next speaker.
What kind of job do you have?
I work at Burris Logistics in Harrington.
You drive a truck for
them? I don't. I'm a crane operator.
Crane operator?
Yes, sir.
I was wondering about that. You said I'm a Teamster. I was a Teamster one time myself.
Yes, sir. Yeah. We're Teamsters. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Patricia Lake, and I reside at 11559 Hastings Farm Road in Seaford, Delaware. I stand before you this afternoon not to give you statistics, but I stand before you as a great-grandmother. I moved to Sussex County in 1969 and acquired a job, which I stayed on for 39 years. And on this job, there was no union, but the company owned 4 other plants in Michigan that were unionized. We were what we were called, I guess no other word for it, but we took up the slack of the union plants. In other words, they got anywhere from $2 to $3 more an hour than what we got in Neillsboro, Delaware. I work for Velastic Foods. I started out as a part-time seasonal for 4 years, and after that I worked my way up and I became full-time. At the plant, I realized that we were being used. We didn't get our overtime like the unionized plants in Michigan got. When the holidays and things come, they sent all the work down to the Delaware plant to do, and we were getting $3 or $4 more less than what the Michigan plants were getting. I was one of the original ones that organized a union at Pinnacle Foods, which when it closed, that was the name of it. Each person had their own personal reason why they didn't want to be unionized, and some why they wanted to be unionized. But we all came together because we looked at a company that owned 3 unionized plants, and they were making anywhere from $2 to $3 more hour than what we were here in Sussex County. The union proceeded. We all went for 3-year contracts. Number one, the plant exchanged ownerships 3 times and went bankruptcy once in the 39 years I worked there. But the union stood by us. Each year we went in contracts. We got more benefits. We didn't get what we wanted each time, but we didn't take anything less than what we already had. I stand before you. I put 2 granddaughters through college those 39 years I worked there, and it was because of the union. Because I knew I could not do it with the amount of money that we were getting paid. At this time, they moved out of Sussex County. One's a registered nurse, and the other is seeking her master's degree in criminal justice, but she's not doing it in Sussex County, but she obtained her education in the state of Delaware. I'd just like to say, when it comes to looking out for your family and knowing that you're doing the best that you can, you go for everything that you can to take care of your family. I served on the union board of UFCW for 16 years. I worked my way up and ran for office of the union. And right today, no matter what or where, my union sisters and brothers asked me to go to encourage those to either be unionized or encourage those who are thinking of not to be unionized. I will be there for them. Thank you.
Ma'am, may I ask you a question? Ma'am? Yeah. Real quick. I think you have a very good testimony because of you worked with a company here in Millsboro, the Vlasic Company.
Yeah.
And for 30, how many years was it, ma'am? 30?
Total with the part-time and the full-time, 39 and a half years.
And commend you. That's a long time to be anywhere. So God bless you. I'm curious because you lived there, you worked there. I printed this out because I found it interesting, the story, because I did some research again, some more research, and this is from an article. I believe it's probably from the News Journal. It's from Wilmington, back on May 26, 2012. And it was talking about the closure of the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I did my reading on this, and it was basically what I can, you can maybe share a testimony about that. But what I read is that the union here and the union up in Michigan were competing against each other. That's what this is saying. And the union up there out-negotiated the union here, and they closed. They closed the shop. That's what this article is saying. So, and I do know that today, of course, Michigan is quote unquote a right to work state today. It was not back in 2012, I don't believe.
Yeah.
But talk a little bit about because you have a very good personal testimony, if you don't mind.
Well,
because of time, maybe we'll shorten it. But
well, what it was, the company played each plant against each other.
Mm-hmm.
They came to us and told us that if we take a reduction in pay, reduction in our benefits, that they would keep our plant open. But they also went to Michigan and told them the same thing. So that's when the unions kind of collided with each other. So we definitely told them, and they sat back and waited to see which plant would give up. And Some of the people are really going through some things now, but we were determined that we would be the plant that they would shut down before we give up everything that we worked for and that the union had fought for us to get over those years. And I want to add to that, the Millsboro plant was more productive, had a better workforce, but to them, it was the money thing. They said that distribution was hard to get their product in Sussex County. It was more easy to do it in Michigan. I don't know about that part, but I do know they played each plant against each other to see who would give up their benefits and their wages first. And they had already planned. They already knew that Millsboro was going to be the plant that was going to shut down in the beginning. They already knew that. So, and I thank God for being able to have that job because it lets me know that there were times I wanted to quit. There was times I felt like, you know, things aren't going the way that I wanted them to go, but I stayed there those years because each 3 years I was on the negotiating committee. Every 3 years, things got better. We got increases. And you know, exchange three times, and we went bankruptcy once, and to still be able to come back. And the union stuck with us. Like I said, there were times we barely, sometimes we only got like a 1% raise. But it was a 1% raise. We didn't have to get that 1% raise. And then the next 3 years, things, you know, they got better. But I wouldn't work. I'm 70 years old. If I go back to work tomorrow offer the job, it would not be in a non-union plant.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is